Thank you, Sherry. Now, we all take these people for granted that play the instruments and lead singing and teach classes and so forth. I do, until I have to do it. And then I appreciate them more. Appreciate Sherry and Jeanette and Hannah, who play the piano, Brother Gabe, Brother John, who lead the singing. Let them know that. And these teachers, thank you. All right, go back to Philippians 3 with me. Philippians 3, read verse 1 again with me. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. I look for a message from the Lord, not a sermon, mind you. I've done that. I've preached a bunch of sermons. I've come up here many times, and the thought went through my head, I just want to get this over with. I'll be honest with you. But sometimes I feel greatly burdened and led, and hope and pray the Lord will give me a message from God's Word. That a message from God can only come from God's Word. And it's got to bless my heart first. Got to bless my heart, and I know that whatever blesses me will bless you. And I know what the message is. I know what I'm supposed to preach. I know that. Spurgeon once told his young preachers in that school he had, he said, if you don't know what to preach, get out of the pulpit. Get out of the ministry. Our Lord said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Paul said that, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory in, but necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I know what the message is. Sometimes, though, we struggle where to preach from. That's what we search the Scriptures and read and want something to bless us. And, you know, I'm always aware that in any congregation of any size at all, that there are old and new believers, there are regular attenders and visitors. I can't help but think about both. I've told you before that too many times I've been told that someone, you know, someone's invited someone to come. And they're hopeful, and I am too. And I'm human. I can't help but think about that person. Maybe never heard the gospel before. So I prepare a message, and inevitably, invariably, they don't show up. And what that tells me is it needs to be the same message regardless who's there, all the time. And I know from experience, I listen to preaching. I listen to preaching by our various ones that we know and love. It's mostly him. I listen to it, and it helps me so much. And I can't tell you how many messages. Listen to one yesterday, the day before. And I thought, I'm going to preach that word for word. I'm not going to change a word. And I might do that. But I listen to preaching, and I know, you know what really blesses me? What I find myself, like sitting in my car or my garage, amening out loud, is the same old message that I've heard for years. The same old truth. The plainer the better. Plainer the better. Is it that way with you? Okay. Okay then. That's what we're going to look at. Finally. He says, finally, brethren. Finally. You know, if this is my last message, and it might be. We can't boast ourselves of tomorrow, can we? It might be my last that I preach. And there's going to be a time, and it might be the last one you hear. That makes this serious, doesn't it? You have probably heard the last message that he's going to preach from a pulpit back in March. He's not going to preach in the pulpit anymore. Not this one or not any other. I know if you go looking for that message, we'll find it for you, but listen to this one. Okay? Listen to this one. Finally, in finality, Paul was in prison. Paul was about to die. And he leaves them with this. He says, finally, my brethren. And the word brethren, the term brethren is a blessed term. You know, brethren, I don't throw that term around. I don't call everybody my brother. Everybody that claims to be a believer. I don't throw that around. But it is a blessed term. And I love being able to call somebody brother. I love being able to call someone sister. Someone who exhibits these three things we're going to see here. I see and recognize that. I love being able to call somebody, especially somebody I didn't know was my brother or sister, brother. It's a blessed term. It belongs to the family of God, sons of God, brethren, beloved brethren, he said. And I want to see I want to call people brethren, sister, and I want to see people come and listen and believe and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess Christ in that pool or whatever pool, and unite with us, and let me call them brethren and them me. That's a precious thing. He says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Peter said that when he wrote, he said, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. These three things here, these three things we're going to look at, tell us who the true people of God are. And one of them is rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins with rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice that He is Lord. Not a figurehead. No, He is Lord. Reigning and ruling. Sovereign. We sang that song. Either He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, reigning and ruling, controlling all things. He doesn't do what men let Him. That's no God. That's a God who cannot save. That's one who's not Lord. Lord means absolute ruler, sovereign, controller of all things. Right? Rejoice in the Lord. The world seems to be chaotic, doesn't it? The world seems to be under the rule and dominion of evil, and it seems like it has the upper hand. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. He still owns this world. He still controls it. Nothing, as Brother Barnard used to say, writhes or wriggles, but what the Lord God controls and purposes. From a speck of dust in the sunlight and where it lands and why, to a soul going out into eternity. He's Lord. Rejoice. Always. That'll give you peace, give you comfort. Rejoice in the Lord our righteousness, the Lord our shepherd, the Lord who provided, the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. He says, to write the same things to you, to me, and is indeed is not grievous. For you it's safe. Same thing. Same old, same old. Same old, same old. Yeah, right. That's what you want to hear. It's safe. And if a man gets up and says, I have a new vision, a new revelation, walk out. Get up right now and walk out. Because the people, the false prophets and the people of this world, like the, the Athenians, who wanted nothing more than to tell and hear of some new thing, some new fad. Look, oh, we have it here. No, we have it there. When our Lord said in Jeremiah, search, stand and seek and search for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and you'll find rest for your soul. Old paths, good way, what's the way? Only, never has been but one way. From all eternity, Christ, you'll find rest. Same old, you better believe. You better hope that you hear it. He goes on to say in verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. And I want you to turn to Isaiah 56. This is a verse that he is surely alluding to. God calls these false preachers dogs. In Isaiah 56, he says they're evil workers. The Lord said, beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Dogs. In Isaiah 56, verse 10, the Lord is talking about these false prophets who come in God's name, supposed to be His watchmen, but they're not. They're blind. Verse 10. They're blind. They're ignorant. They are dumb dogs. Cannot bark. Wouldn't dare bark and offend anybody. Sleeping, lying down. Greedy dog. Can never get enough. That's who he's talking about. Dumb dogs. As somebody once said, especially beware the ones wearing collars. We were in a restaurant last night, and one of these fellas had his collar around backward. Beware of them. Beware of them. Dogs. Our Lord, and as he said, they're evil workers. Go back to the text. Our Lord in Matthew 7, remember? He said, many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, we've preached in your name. We've prophesied in your name. We've done many wonderful works in Jesus' name. Many. When the Lord says many, that's many. He said, many false prophets are gone out, didn't he? John said, you've heard that Antichrist shall come? He said, even now there are many. Anybody that's not completely preaching Christ and Christ only and pointing people to Christ is Antichrist. Right? You're either for him or you're anti, against him. You're pointing to him, giving him all the glory, pointing men to him, saying he's all in all in salvation. Or you're anti. You're taken away from his glory. It's a fact. But our Lord said they're workers of iniquity, didn't he? He said, in that last day, and Brother Donnie Bell said, probably going to be, profession-wise, probably going to be more preachers in hell than any other profession. Everybody and his brother and his mother's a preacher. Anyway, our Lord said, bind them hand and foot and cast them out, you workers of iniquity. But they did this in His name. It seemed like it. They said it, but they were getting glory to themselves. He says, beware of them. Beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Verse 2 says, beware of the concision. The concision, he's talking about, or the Jews, circumcision, concision. God gave, back to Moses, God gave one mark in the flesh to distinguish God's people from Gentiles. What was it? Circumcision. Right? It's a mark in the flesh. But it's still hidden. It's still hidden. Right? Well, but the Jews were so proud of their outward show of religion. From the way they dressed, and they brought their phylacteries. You know what that was? They wore scripture verses. The more they remembered, the more they memorized, the bigger were their phylacteries. Look at me. Or today it would be the more they have on their bumper of their car. That's right. Beware of them. Are they giving glory to God or themselves? They want you to know how religious they are. Phylactery, prayers, they love to, our Lord said, everything they do to be seen of men. Love to be seen praying. Our Lord said, don't do that, didn't he? He said, be careful that you do not your own be seen of men. Don't do that. Pray in secret. Who do you want to see you praying?
God.
Alms. Here's a check. Here's a check. Our church has given $1,000 the United Way. It's in the newspaper. That's their reward. Isn't it? When the true church has given money, oh my, anonymously, without fanfare, without blowing a trumpet. Why?
To God.
It's given to God. God who seeth and secretly rewardeth openly. That's it. Beware. Beware of them. They do this to impress people. And they do. They impress the simple. Religious people impress the ignorant and the simple. To show, Paul called it a will worship. Religious buildings and crowds and smooth, eloquent talkers, zeal, enthusiasm. Beware of it all. Beware of it. Beware of it. Now here's what marks, here's the evidence, three things of God's true people. Verse 3. He says, we. And I can say we. And you say it, Stan, Brother Stan? Confidently? We better be able to. We. We are the circumcision. That is the true people of God. Those upon whom God has put this mark, these marks, or this mark, that distinguish them from other people. Now, you remember in Romans 2 where what he said circumcision was? Real circumcision? What it means to be a Jew and God's people? It's not outward, made with hand, but it's inward. It's of the heart. It's a spiritual mark. People can't necessarily see it. They didn't see the Son of God in the Son of God. He didn't wear anything to distinguish him from the common man, did he? He didn't wear phylacteries and so forth. No, they couldn't distinguish him from the common man. What did distinguish him? God he worshiped. The truth he proclaimed, didn't he? And what he renounced. The true circumcision, he said. These are the marks. Verse 1. We worship God in the Spirit. We're the true circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. Worship. What does that mean? Worship means pay homage, means bow to, give honor and glory. We worship God. God's people, when they come together in a place, is not to see or be seen, but it's to worship. To worship God. Go with me to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. I just saw this the other day for the first time. I read it, but just saw it. Revelation 11. Go over there with me. Many, you know, say Lord, Lord with their lips, but far from believing that He is and far from worshiping Him in spirit and truth. But all of God's people, true people, bow to and believe and love and rejoice in the Lord our God. They worship God. They get together to worship God, to give Him honor and glory. Not father, not mother, not ourselves. Not unto us, but unto Him be the glory. And it'll come out, it'll show in the songs they sing, the way they conduct themselves, who they preach. They worship God. They worship God. They give Him homage. They bow to His rights. Not our will, but His will. They bow to His will, His glory, His pleasure. They meet every time to worship. Look at verse, and all through the Revelation it tells us of those who are in glory and what they're doing. And it says of the elders, verse 17, they say, in verse 17, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and which wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. We're so thankful. We meet together to worship and thank Him that He's God and beside Him there's none else. So thankful that our God is God, not a bystander in the affairs of men. Aren't you glad that everything's in His hand? Aren't you thankful that God has ordered all things from all eternity and it's sure? Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful that God reigns? And we come to worship Him as such. But look at the next line, verse 18. And the nations were angry. We're glad. What makes God's people exceedingly glad makes the world exceedingly mad, doesn't it? And all we're trying to do, and all God's people are trying to do is glorify God. Give Him the due, right? Give Him the glory that's His. Just return unto Him what we owe Him, don't we? Unto Him be honor and glory and power and riches and strength and everything. By the grace of God, we are what we are. And we give God all the glory for all things. No flesh should glory in His praise. God's people don't. They worship God, who is God, for all things come from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. And we're thankful, aren't we? Worship God. That which makes God's people exceedingly glad, the world gets mad at it. Why? They don't know God. They don't know God. They want some glory for themselves. They have the vain thought, this vain glory, that they have done something themselves. That they have accomplished something themselves. And who maketh us to differ? Why does anybody worship God in spirit? Why does anybody worship God? Because God reveals Himself to them. Because God makes Himself known to them. Because God makes them, causes them to worship Him. In spirit. That means in heart. In heart. With the heart man believeth. And with the heart man worshipeth. Out of the heart of the issues of life. Look at the next thing. We worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Many rejoice, most rejoice in their church, in their organization, their activities, in their work, in their programs, in their choir. You want to know what God's people rejoice in? Christ Jesus. They can't get enough of hearing about Christ Jesus. That's how you know them. That's what they're doing in heaven, and that's what they're doing here. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Unto Him. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know what other people rejoice in? Ask them. They go somewhere on a Sunday. Ask them what it was all about. And you'll hear things like this. Oh, you should have heard the choir. Oh, you should have seen the play. My little Jimmy was in it. He played one of the wise men. Oh, you should have. You ask God's people and they'll say, oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Lord. Oh, what great salvation. Oh, what wonderful redemption. Oh, what a Lord do we have. Oh, what an unworthy creature I am and what a worthy Lord He is. That's how you know Him. They rejoice in Christ Jesus. Not just Jesus. Did you read with me on down through here? Every time He mentions Jesus, He calls Him Christ Jesus, doesn't He? Christ Jesus. Everybody loves Jesus, don't they? Ask them. Who wouldn't admit that? Everybody loves a baby named Jesus. Everybody loves Mary's son, they think. Everybody loves a miracle worker. But now the Lord Jesus, they crucified the Lord, they thought. No, you're just a man. And you make yourself God. I had it all wrong, didn't I?
He's God.
And he made himself a man. I had it all backwards, didn't I? They didn't know him. Why? He didn't reveal himself to them. He said, you believe not because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And you know what they call me?
Lord.
Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus asked his disciples one time. He said, whom do men say that I am? And they say, well, everybody's talking about you. You're popular. And some say you're John, risen from the dead. Some say you're Elijah. Or some say you're one of the prophets like Moses or Samuel. Great. They say you're a great man. Now, if you said that about me, it might be a compliment. But it's not to the Lord. Not at all. Not at all. But then he turned to his disciples and he said, now whom do you say that I am? What do you call me? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter stood up, spoke up for all the apostles and for us, for the circumcision. He said, thou art the Christ. He didn't say, you're Jesus. Thou art the Christ. Christ the Lord, Christ our prophet, priest, and king, Christ the mediator, the covenant head, Christ, that's what Christ means, the anointed one, only one. Heard these fellows all say, I've got an anointed ministry. Mark him off right there. Mark him off. The Holy Spirit came down and said, this is the anointed one. My son. Call him the anointed one. Don't call yourself that or any other person. Don't do that. Moses and Elijah were there, remember? And even Peter and the boys were taken up with Moses and Elijah. And our Lord spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. He's the one. You worship him. Don't worship men. He's the anointed one. Upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain there without measure. He's the Christ, the Son of God. The only one. The only mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. The only one whom God will deal with men through. The one prophet, priest, and king. The Holy One of Israel. The express image of God. God manifest in the flesh. The only substitute. The only redeemer. The only deliverer. The only way, truth, and life. Christ Jesus. Rejoice. I may have sounded mad then. I'm just being emphatic. We rejoice, don't we? Aren't you glad you don't have to look here and there? Look! Sitting at the right hand of God is the Christ of God. We don't need a prophet anymore. We don't need a priest anymore. We've got a king reigning and ruling. Thank God. King of kings. Christ is all. That's why he said Christ Jesus. We rejoice in Christ because Christ is all. All our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. And those who are sent by Christ, by God, by preach Christ, that's how you know. And those who hear Christ's voice insist and love and never tire of hearing Christ. You know that's how you know the gospel is gospel to you, if it stays gospel. Gospel means good news. But it's the old story. You sang it a while ago. You told me, tell you the old story. Again? Yes, again, because I forget so soon. Now, this is how you know that the gospel is gospel to you if it always is gospel to you. If after all these years, Brother Henry, 30 or 40 years, however long you've been, I can preach the same thing, Christ crucified, God reigning and ruling, keep calling you a worm, and exalt Christ, and there you sit smiling, it must be gospel to you. It must still be good news. Thank God. Thank God for that. Some people tire of it. That means it never was good news to them. Oh, sinner, if you be a sinner, this gospel's for sinners. The Holy Spirit who convinces of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He continues to do that. It's not a one-time thing. It's not years ago I found out I was a sinner and then I rose above it. No! It's we're a sinner till the day we die. So what do sinners need to hear? Forgiveness of sin. Redemption through the blood. No one. Let me hear that story. Christ Jesus makes you whole. Let me hear that story. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Even the chief. You mean after all these years and I feel worse than I was in the beginning, He still let me come to Him? He still will forgive me? That's right. Oh, that's good news. That's how you know. I rejoice in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. They never lose that first love. Love for the truth. Love for the gospel. And the last thing he says is they have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Anything to do with the flesh. Did not our Lord say that which is flesh is flesh? It'll never be anything but flesh. By the deeds of the flesh, no one will be justified. Flesh is flesh. Flesh, you know, is what you see and feel. Things you feel. I like what Martin Luther wrote this. Feelings come. Was it Luther? Feelings come and feelings go. He said, feelings are deceiving. Feelings are deceiving. One day you feel good, and the next day you don't. One day you feel like you're a believer, and the next day you don't. One day you feel good, you don't want to feel that way. The next day you feel rotten. Feel. Oh, I felt so good. That gave me a good feel. Don't trust feelings. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. Luther said, my hope is in the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. We sing that song, my hope is built. All my hope of salvation, my hope of heaven, my hope of eternal glory is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, feeling. You better hope the days that you can't find any evidences that you're a child of God. You better hope that it's still true. Christ came to save sinners. And it is. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly my whole heart, mind, soul, life lean on the Lord Jesus Christ's name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. And buddy, when you come to your deathbed, it'll be a peace. Look anywhere else and you'll worry. You look within to try in this flesh. In what did Paul say? There's never been a man any better than Paul. He said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? Oh, I thank God, he said, through Christ Jesus my Lord. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Thank God, Christ. And he's the one that wrote that, this faithful saying. He said, I'm the chief of sinners, and it's good news to me, Paul said. No confidence in the flesh. Any outward props of religion? Flesh. Religious buildings, religious relics, pictures, statues, holy land. There ain't no such thing as holy land. That dirt over there in Israel is the same as this dirt. It's just dirt. No such thing as holy water. That water they call holy over there in the Vatican, they got it out of a tap somewhere. It's contaminated with E. coli. It'll kill you more than physically. It'll kill those who trust in it spiritually. Well, they're already dead. But flesh, large cathedrals and pomp and show and robes and candles and all that. People, how holy? How holy? No, how idolatrous. Idolatrous. Flesh is any person. Don't trust. Don't put your salvation in any person. I was talking about and thanking the Lord for this preacher right here, but he didn't save me. No, no. Oh, no. An instrument of means that God used to send the gospel of Christ to save me. I thank God for that. But Paul one time said, Paul didn't die for you. Christ did. Oh, no, don't worship him. Flesh, any person, not a priest, not a prophet, not a preacher, not an evangelist, not any man of the flesh, be it Paul, Peter, Luther, Calvin, whoever. I love those men. John Knox and all of them. I love those men. Esteem them highly, but they don't worship them. And the gospel didn't begin with Calvin. It's God's gospel. God's gospel. Christ. Who are the people of God? Who are the true people of God? Well, you can't necessarily see the signs on the outside. Hidden marks, this circumcision of the heart. But it will spill out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What will it speak? What will the people of God speak? To Him be the glory. Ask them of their salvation. To Him. Ask them about their building. Well, it's just something to keep the rain off our head. Ask them about baptism. It's just water. It can't put away one sin. Ask them about salvation. They'll say, Christ is all. Christ is all. That's how you know. That's how you know. All right. Let's, Chair, if you'll come, we'll sing a closing hymn.